good morning, church. So good to be with you on all of our campuses. And I want to start with a simple question. Who was the greatest NFL player of any position of all time? My opinion, Jerry Rice. Now, I know some of you are going to argue with me because you got your own guy and your own stats. Look, this is not a salvation issue. You can be wrong. It's okay. But here are the numbers. The leading yardage of all time is Jerry Rice, of any position, 22,895. Number two to him was Terrell Owens as a receiver. He didn't even get to 16,000. I mean, this is not even close. And to put this in perspective, some of you are Odell Beckham fans. First 2 years of his career, unbelievable, averaged 1,377 yards. The guy's on fire. But he would have to stay on fire for the next 14 years, and he would still be behind Jerry Rice. These numbers are unbelievable. Not just yardage, but catches. The total number of receptions, 1,549. Second to him was Tony Rodriguez, 1,325. Talk about TDs. He has over 200 touchdowns. Next to him is Emmitt Smith. He only has 175, not even close. So that's why I'm saying Jerry Rice, greatest NFL player. What made him great in the game was what he did when no one was watching. The crowds could cheer for him, but when he's in practice, he's all alone. Practice makes perfect, and your practice will determine your performance. Now, I love the twist that Lombardi put on this famous phrase. It's perfect practice that makes perfect. So here we are in the game plan series talking about our game plan for life. So who is it that we can follow as a model for the perfect life lived? Like, I'm just gonna vote for Jesus, okay? All-time record breaker, right? Here's the trouble. If I say to you, you need to be like Jesus, you might say, well, I'm not gonna walk on water. Like, I can't feed 5,000. There's no way that I can win these religious debates that Jesus had. Now, I'm not talking about you carrying out Jesus' mission, but imitating his private practice. See, your life mission, if you were here last week, you heard the message from Pastor Ashley about getting your own life mission. If you're going to be successful in that mission, then your private practice should imitate Jesus. And you can do it. If you found Jesus on the top of a mountain all alone or in an inner room, he would be doing two things, prayer and reading scripture. Those two practices gave him the power to do the great things that he did. It gave him the focus to know exactly what God was calling him to do. It gave him the clarity of how to treat problem people. And it's no different in your life. If you want to fulfill your life's mission, then you need to practice perfectly these two disciplines of private prayer and Bible reading. So our challenge, the message today is really quite simple. I want to challenge everyone on all of our campuses to a 21-day challenge. We're going to read together through the Gospel of John. It has 21 chapters. You can read one chapter a day. Look, it's not going to be this extended practice like Jerry Rice did. It's simply going to be, by the way, Jerry Rice, his workout routine was insane. Every morning, he spent 2 hours in aerobic exercises, running up and down what they called the five-mile trek, the hill. And he would stop in the middle of it to do 40-yard sprints uphill. And then in the afternoon, he would do 3 hours of strength conditioning. And it didn't matter if it was upper body, lower body, always the same routine, 21 exercises. He would repeat each exercise three different times, three sets, and every set he would do 10 reps for a total of 630 reps a day. That's what made him so great. And we're not asking you for that many reps. Really what we're calling you to is 10, maybe 15 minutes a day to read one chapter and answer three simple questions. Now, I'm just guessing. There's a number of people here who are guests today. and you might be an atheist, or you might just be seeking. You're what we would call a pre-Christian. And you're thinking, why would I read the Bible? That's a good question. Here's why. No book in human history has a greater collection of wisdom in it than this book. And you're here today. I'm just guessing about you. If you're here and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, you still would probably say, I want to get better at my spiritual life. Unless you're here because you lost a bet or something, you probably are thinking, yeah, I do want to get better. Listen, this is a great place to start. Even if you're not a Christian, there was a Hindu that read the Bible by the name of Mahatma Gandhi, and the words of Jesus changed his life. And they can change yours as well. So whether you're a seasoned saint, an atheist, a seeker, a new believer, this exercise will make you better at focusing your vision and your mission in life. So 21-day challenge to read one chapter a day. And look, I get it. This isn't like a super sexy message in terms of emotional impact. But I believe that the practical advice that we're going to get from three questions to ask and three tools to answer those questions has life-transforming power. So if you're interested, let's start with this verse from 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. Now, I'm going to start with this verse because it is the only verse in all the Bible that talks about physical exercise. Paul says, for physical training, and there's the Greek word, is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Now, going back to the Greek word for training, do you see an English word in that? Is this the word gym, which is where we get the word gym? And Paul would say it's good to go to the gym. It's pronounced like this, gymnazo. Can we say that on all of our campuses together? Ready? Gymnazo. The reason I wanted us to say that together is you can now go home and brag to your friends and family that at church today, it was incredible. The Spirit of God came on us, and all at once, all our campuses spoke in tongues, which is not completely false. But Paul would say, you ought to go to the gym. Look, I have spent a lot of time in the gym, and probably that was the very first thing you thought when you saw me standing up here. don't judge, okay? Going to the gym is good for you, but the problem is all of our bodies have a fairly short shelf life. But what you do to train for godliness, you can take into eternity. And the reason this was so important for Paul, if you go back to chapter 4, verse 1, he kind of puts his cards on the table. The Spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Paul recognizes, just like we do today, that there are people all around us who want to knock us off our game plan. They want to take us out of our life mission to live for God. And typically, we think, well, yeah, there are people outside the church. There are these, you know, antagonists and enemies that want to attack us. That wasn't Paul's greatest concern. Actually, his greatest concern were people inside the church. Not the outsiders who distract us, but the insiders who distract us. There are people all around who will say to you, if you want to really be a Christian, then you need to understand my brand of theology. If you really want to grow in Christ, here's my secrets to these exercises that you need to do. All of us have met people like that that want to get us zeroed in on their brand of spirituality. Don't buy it. Listen to what Paul says in the next verse. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Pay attention to that last phrase, word of God and prayer. That was the foundation of Paul's spiritual growth. It was the foundation of Jesus' spiritual growth, and it will be the foundation of yours as well. So what I want to do is just offer you three simple questions that you can ask as you read the Bible that will help shape your reading to be productive. And I know I've heard it a lot. Maybe you've said it. Man, I tried to read the Bible and I just didn't understand it. So, you know, you put it down. Listen, I get it. I've tried to read War and Peace 5 times. I've never read. I assume it's a good book. They say it's a good book. It's not the problem with the book. It's my problem. I didn't really concentrate on it and give it a fair effort. And I want to ask you to concentrate on the Bible and really give it a fair effort by answering these three questions. Here's question number one. What does this mean? And I've crossed off the words "to me" because a lot of people ask that. What does this verse mean to me? I don't mean to be rude, but I don't really care what it means to you. I care what it meant from God. Let me put this in perspective. If you want to pick up a Hallmark card and kind of make it your own, I don't care. It's a Hallmark card. But you would never treat a traffic ticket the same as you treat a Hallmark card. So a cop pulls you over and he says, you understand this is a one-way street. And you say, I know. And I think it should be this way. Can we just all agree on all our campuses that that would be a tactical error on your part? Teenagers, if your mother says, you need to go clean your room, your definition of clean doesn't count. This is not a policeman or your mother we're talking about. It's God's word. And we want to offer God the common courtesy of communication to ask the question, what does God want to say through this passage? Now, that can be difficult, let's be honest, because the Bible was written 2,000 years ago in a different language to a different group of people in a different country. Obviously, we're going to run across some items in here that are foreign to us, phylacteries and Philistines and Pharisees. And we got to figure it out. What is the Bible actually saying? So whenever I cross a geographic or linguistic line, when I pick up my passport to travel, I always get an eyewitness travel guide. Because this book will help me know what kind of food I'm going to eat and what kind of currency I'm going to use and how to get on public transportation. Without one of these, it's easy to get lost in a foreign country. Wouldn't it be nice if there was an eyewitness travel guide for the Bible? Well, actually, there is, and I'm holding it in my hand. I want to offer you a suggestion of this specific tool. It's called a Life Application Bible. And on every campus, if you go to the bookstore, you could order one of these to have as your own, or you can order it on Amazon. The thing I like about this is the New International Version, is that they've taken out all the these and thous. So it's the language the way we speak it today, so we're not confused by what we read. And another thing I like is at the bottom of every page, there are simple notes. Look, we're not like digging into deep scholarship here, but it's simple notes that will explain what you just read. Now, you don't have to read them all, but if you read something in here and you go, I don't know what that verse means, look at the bottom of the page for a 2 or 3 sentence explanation. I'll tell you what else I love. In the margin, they have all of these cross-reference verses. So if I read a verse and I'm not quite sure what it means, I'll look up 2 or 3 other verses that say basically the same thing. And sometimes, just hearing it in different wording, in a different context, makes the light bulb go on, and you go, oh, okay, I understand that. Maybe the best thing of all, aside from the maps in the back, I love maps, is at the beginning of each book, they have a brief introduction that tell you who wrote it, when they wrote it, where they wrote it, and why they wrote it. And in 2 pages, you can mental map the entire book that you're reading. That is so helpful. If you will take this travel guide with you, I promise you, you're going to understand the book better. Caution. A lot of people who get into Bible study get so enamored with learning the Bible that they forget to apply the Bible. And that's worthless. Have you ever met someone like that? Like they know all the different ins and outs of the Bible. Look, we're not asking you to be a Bible scholar. Like, I'm not that preacher standing up here going, well, you need to learn the Greek if you're ever going to understand the Bible. I don't believe that. We're not saying you got to memorize all the books of the Bible. In fact, all of us have been irritated by a friend of ours at one time or another who got on a new diet kick. You ever met someone like that? You're sitting there eating a burger, enjoying it, and they're going, I can't believe you're eating red meat. Why don't you try my kale smoothie? Why don't you back up before you're wearing that kale smoothie? I don't want to do that to you. Or you go to the gym and you just want to, you want to kind of tone up here and there. And the trainer's going, today we will start with 1,000 push-ups. It's like, Arnold, dial it back, dude. It's going to be all right. And I don't want to be that Bible guy that says, well, you know, you got to know all this stuff. You don't. God has called me to be a Bible teacher, and I take it very seriously, digging into the weeds. But I don't put that expectation on you. And I think all of us have kind of an intimidation of, well, you know, if I don't know all the Bible, then, you know, I'm not worthy to read it. Look, this is a tool for you to use so that your private practice will improve your public performance for Jesus Christ. Simple enough? Here's the second question that I would encourage you to ask. What does this say about God? And we're really trying to get at the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. The Bible is God's autobiography where he tells you about himself so that you can get to know him. And that's the bottom line for life, is to know and love God. The difficulty is, if you just start reading the Bible and you're trying to figure out who God is, that can be pretty complex, right? In fact, if you read a chapter a day, every day you should ask, what does this say about God? What does this say about Jesus? What does this tell me about the Holy Spirit who's guiding me? But like with any exercise, don't set your expectations too high. When you begin any exercise program, it will be difficult at first, and you won't see immediate results. So I want to, there's this magic wand that you can use to help you answer this question. It's a powerful tool. We call it actually a pen. And what I've found is if you will simply underline one or two verses in every chapter that speaks to you, it somehow connects with your heart, you'll start to see things about God that you never saw before. I love to like circle and underline, and sometimes I'll take a line and draw it from one verse to another where they connect, or I'll write questions in the margin of my Bible so that I can ask someone else later. The difficulty is, some of you are thinking, but this is a sacred book. I can't like write in a book. That'd be like graffiti or something. I grew up like that too, and I remember my Sunday school teachers would tell me, don't put the Bible on the ground. It's God's holy word. So when I saw someone writing in their Bible, it's like, you blasphemer. What's the matter with you? And one of the greatest gifts I ever got, I want to give to you now. One of my youth coaches said, Mark, look, this is not a trinket to be displayed. It's a tool to be used. And as I've watched people over the years, I've noticed that those with tattered Bibles avoid shattered lives. Mark it up. Let's get messy with this thing so it can be a tool you can actually use. Here's the third question. What should I do? And really, that's the most important question. If you don't get to this question, it doesn't matter what answer you give to the first question, what does it mean? Or the second question, what does this say about God? And answering this question, as you live out the Word of God, you'll know better what it means. Saying you understand the Word of God without obeying the Word of God is like saying, oh, I know what it's like to be married when you're a bachelor. You don't have a clue. You might think you do. Or saying, oh yeah, I really know God. You're gonna know God better when you start to serve others well. See, this third question is getting at the second great commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. And when you begin to love the children of God, you will know the heart of God. So let me give you a tool. Again, like any exercise, at first it might be difficult to practice and you won't see immediate results, but there's a tool here if you will get a partner in your reading. And let me go back to you gym rats. For those of you who spend a lot of time in the gym, you know this is true. You are in the gym for several years at a time and you watch people come and you watch them go. People who hire a trainer last a couple months. People who work out with a partner last for years. Trainers are helpful, partners are critical. And so this book, God never intended to be read in isolation. He wants you to read it with other people. Now, those of you who are in a neighborhood group, you have an automatic group that you can share with your reading of God's word. That's powerful. Some of you will be in a smaller group, an accountability group that we call around here transformation groups. And you can ask each other the difficult questions about God's word. But you could do this with your family, with your business partner. But when you begin to read God's word with someone else, that's when you get the greatest benefit from it. And Paul knew that, which is why in verse 6, he says, if you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Notice what he says at the beginning. If you point these things out to the brothers, a trainer will help you get started. A partner will help you sustain your exercise. But when you start sharing with others what you learn from God's word, then all of a sudden you have more buy-in than you've ever had before. It's a simple exercise that we want to challenge you to for the next 21 days, starting on Monday. Now, whenever you start a training program, people will like you to take a before picture and an after picture so that you can see what benefit you're getting. I want you to really, right now, take a kind of a before snapshot and an after snapshot. And I want to give you some testimonials of those who have done this kind of a program and gotten amazing results from it. Did you know that there are guarantees in God's word for what you will get out of it? God's word says it will never come back empty. So if you do this program, what can you expect to achieve? Here's the first thing. Coming out of 1 Peter chapter 1, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. If you read the Bible, you can be born again. I want to introduce you to Mosab Hassan Youssef. He's a young man who is the son of a terrorist leader. And not just any terrorist leader, his father founded Hamas. This photo shows him standing behind his father through the lens of a sniper rifle. When he was 17 years old, a British businessman secretly slipped him a Bible. And he began to read it. And he was hearing his father say, if you want to honor our God, you need to kill your enemies. And Hassan was reading in Jesus' words that if you want to honor God, you love your enemies. And he decided that he wanted to be a man known for giving life, not bringing death. And he has become a Christian. He actually lives secretly in the United States. He is a wanted man. But the reason I bring up his story is some of you are thinking, because of my past, I have no future with God. No, the Bible promises you can be born again. And as you read through the Gospel of John, that's actually where that phrase is found, that you can be born again. My hope for you, if you are a pre-Christian, that somehow through the life of Jesus, you would see the hope for your own life to be a follower of God. Here's another promise. A guarantee of God's word. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it night, day, and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Now be careful with those words. I don't want you to think of the health and wealth prosperity gospel. This was written to Joshua, a young man who God gave a mission to. Being prosperous and successful means you will be able to accomplish the mission God gave you. And if you're working through the message of last week, writing your life mission, the best way to ensure that you have the tools and resources to be successful in what God has called you to do, to live the life God called you to live, is to make sure that you stay in the Word of God. That is your source of strength and your weaponry. Mark Burnett, you may not recognize his face, but I know you'll recognize his shows. Celebrity Apprentice, The Voice, Survivor, Shark Tank, The Job. This guy's unbelievable. The number of shows that he has gotten on television. What you may not know about Mark Burnett is he is a devout follower of Jesus Christ. He loves the Bible. And God called him to one of the hardest mission fields in the world. God called Mark to get the Bible and the truths of Scripture into Hollywood. Aren't you glad that's not your call? A couple of years ago, he completed a 10-hour series on the Bible that's played on the History Channel. God has given him success. And the reason I want to bring up Mark Burnett is because some of you in your own vocations are thinking, man, the where I work is too hard to make the truths of God relevant where I work. No, it's not. If you will be in the Word before you go to work, the Word will flow out of you through your work. And as you put into practice God's Word, you will have the power of God, not just to live it out yourself, but to make Jesus famous in your vocation where you live and work. One more promise. This comes from John 8. If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Louis Zamperini died 2 months before the movie came out that documented his life. Any of you see the movie Unbroken? That was about this man right here. He was an Olympic athlete in 1940, captured in World War II, and spent years, because he was known as an Olympian, he was brutally beaten in a Japanese concentration camp. Angelina Jolie produced this film. And I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. You don't have time to tell everything in the story. But part of the story that she left out was what happened to Louis when he came back to the United States. He was free from the prison camp, but he was still a prisoner of that war. Every night, he had horrible nightmares of choking his captors. Every night. And to dull the pain, he was drinking himself to death until his wife said, "We need to go to a Billy Graham crusade." And that night, when he heard the Word of God preached, and he heard that the truth of God could set him free, he accepted Jesus Christ, and the nightmares stopped. Not only that, he became an evangelist and traveled all over the country, even going back to Japan, extending his hand in forgiveness to the very men who had brutalized him as a prisoner. If you are captive, maybe to a relationship or an addiction, or revenge, or anger, God can set you free. And so our challenge to you is very practical. Over the next 21 days, starting Monday, to read one chapter in the Gospel of John using three questions and three tools to let God speak to you. And I promise you, maybe you tried to read the Bible before and you didn't understand it. I promise you, with this exercise, you will not only understand the message of John, but you will hear God speak to you personally over the next 3 weeks. And to help you, we want to send out two texts a week. The first is going to be a little coaching video, like 3 minutes long, that says, as you read these passages, here's what you might look for to get the most from your reading. The second text later in the week is just going to be an encouragement. Hey, here's where we are. Glad you're keeping up. Way to go. Stay strong. If you would like to be part of this challenge, I want to ask you as a takeaway simply to opt in. For those of you who are using the app right now to take notes with a message, you'll see a button at the bottom of the message app. Just push the button and you're going to be able to opt in quickly and easily. For those of you using a paper program, here is the web address. If you type this into your smartphone or into your computer at home, you will be able to opt in to receive simply two texts for the next 3 weeks. Our goal is that as you get into God's Word, you will not only know your purpose in life, but that you'll have the strength to carry it out. Game day's coming. Let's get a win. Let's pray. Holy Father, your Word is a light unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we are so grateful that you've taken the time to communicate with us how we can win at life by fulfilling the mission that you've given each one of us. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would meet us in the open pages of our Bible and guide us in practical ways of applying this word with our family, with our friends, and where we work. We pray in Jesus Christ. Amen.